107. I want everybody to notice, look how shiny those pages are. Brand new Bible. It's King James Version. Still says the same thing, but I finally broke down and got a new Bible. Psalm 107. You know, some people's Bible looks like this after 20 years, because they don't use it. Psalm 107, verses 1 through 8. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That is, that the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. The author and the occasion of this psalm is not given. It is very likely it was written after Judah had gone into captivity and exile in Babylon and then later returned to their homeland. In Psalm 106, verse 47, there's this prayer. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, obviously in captivity, to give thanks unto Thy holy name and to triumph in Thy praise. And then this flows into Psalm 107, notice again verses 2 and 3, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Again, the prayer was, save us, redeem us. And then notice what else it says, and gathered them out. And that's exactly what they prayed for in Psalm 106, redemption and a gathering. So I believe prayer was answered here, and I believe it goes back to Babylonian captivity. And then the psalmist proceeds to give account of God's dealings with His people throughout the 107th Psalm. He calls these people the redeemed of the Lord. And this is to whom the psalm is addressed. And what the psalmist writes is a picture. He paints a picture of God's miraculous deliverance of Israel throughout their history. They most likely sang this song to celebrate their historical deliverances, also to remind them of God's ability to deliver. And so it is an epitome of our own experience of the gracious dealings of God. And we need to celebrate such, and we need to be reminded of such, and this psalm does exactly that. We see it opens with an exhortation. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And this is with regard to two specific attributes of God. His goodness and His mercy. Called in verse 43, you put the two together, His loving kindness. And then beginning with verse 4 through verse 32, which is the main body of the psalm, there's a very, very definite and repeated pattern and arrangement. The pattern and arrangement being you find people in impossible overwhelming, helpless predicaments, followed by this same people crying out to God while they are in their predicaments. And we see this in verse 6, verse 13, verse 19, verse 28. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. This was followed by God's miraculous deliverance of His people. And you read, and He delivered them out of their distresses. Followed by a call to praise God. Oh, that men would praise God. And we find that in verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31. So there's a definite pattern. And then in verses 33 through 38, we see God's mercy, God's goodness, God's love and kindness, illustrated by His miraculous transformations. And in verse 40 and 41, we see how that God can reverse any situation. If you were to entitle this psalm, I believe you could write over it, God to the Rescue. And that's what we want to speak upon this morning. God to the Rescue. First of all, we want to notice God in the psalm. All through the psalm is God. But before we see God in the psalm, we read many other words. We read the enemy, the lands, the wilderness, the solitary way. We read of the hungry and thirsty. We read the word trouble, the word distresses. We read of the longing soul, the hungry soul. Read of darkness, the shadow of death. Again, these are all in the psalm. We read of the bound in affliction, labor. We read that phrase, none to help. We read of bands and gates of brass and bars of iron. Transgressions. Find the word iniquities. There's the words, the gates of death. We read of their destructions. We read of the depths. We read of a people being at their wits' end. We read of the storm, the waves. There's the word minished. There's the words brought low, oppression, affliction, and sorrow. You read through this psalm and you find all of those words. But in it all, there's God. In the midst of all those things, there is God. He is referred to as Lord 12 times in this psalm. The everlasting, immutable, self-existent, self-sufficient One. It's a title that speaks of the absoluteness of God. 12 times. He referred to God, Elohim, one time, emphasizing His strength and His faithfulness, that He's able, that He's loyal, constant, true, dependable. He's also called the Most High in this psalm one time, conveying the idea that He is always more than. He's the most. He's the Most High. Throughout the psalm, there are personal pronouns referring to Him. There is He 21 times, His 12 times, Him 2 times, In all, I count 49 references to God. 49 references to God. It is a psalm about God. The subject of the psalm is not the enemy or the lands or all these other words that we looked at. That's not the subject. The subject is God. So in the midst of all these things, there is God. We read in verse 1, He is. He is. This declares the fact of God. He is. This declares the existence and the reality, the certainty of God. He is. So in the midst of all these things, all these situations that we read of in this psalm, God is. God is. That's always so. Again, in the midst of all the situations in the psalm, there is God. And in verse 1, we read, He is good. He is good. Verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31, we read, His goodness. His goodness. And we also read in verse 1, His mercy. We read in verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31, His wonderful works. That is, His exciting, extraordinary, and astonishing works. And these works are to the children of men. They are toward you and I. We read in verse 22, His works. Verse 24, we read of the works of the Lord. Also in verse 24, we read of His wonders or His miracles. And in verse 43, we read of the loving kindness of the Lord. We read in verse 20 of His word. So again, in the midst of these various situations and circumstances, there is God. There is God in His goodness. There is God in His mercy and His loving kindness. And He is a God who can. He is a God that is active throughout the 107th Psalm. He is a God who does and can work wonders. Again, wonderful works and wonders. He's also a God in control. In verse 25, for He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. He's in control. In verse 29, He maketh the storm a calm. The very one who brings the storm, commands the storm to come, calms the storm. He is a God in control. He is a God who leads forth. In verse 7, we read, He led them forth. He is also a God that satisfies. We read in verse 9, for He satisfieth the longing soul. He is a God who sends His word and heals. Verse 20, He sent His word and healed them. So He's very active. He's working. And in the midst of the various situations and circumstances, He is there. And He is there as the Redeemer. The one who can rescue. The one who can deliver. Notice verse 2. He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Verse 3. He hath gathered them out. In verse 6, He delivered them out of their distresses. In verse 13, He saved them out of their distresses. In verse 14, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. In verse 19, he saveth them out of their distresses. In verse 20, he delivered them from their destructions. In verse 28, he bringeth them out of their distresses. And then in verse 30, we read, he bringeth them unto. He is the Redeemer. So we see these impossible, inescapable, overwhelming situations. And there is God delivering a people. He is the God who can transform. We see that in verses 33 through 38. He is able to bring about miraculous and sudden change. People say it'll never change. God is able to bring about miraculous and sudden change. I don't see any sign of it changing. God is able to bring about sudden change. He doesn't necessarily send you a sign. God is. And God is in all of these situations. Verse 40, 41, God can reverse any situation. He can pour contempt upon princes and cause them to wander in the wilderness. In other words, He can change their life just like that. He setteth the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. God can reverse whatever the situation might be. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is beyond God. That's what this psalm declares. In the midst of various situations and circumstances, there is God, and He can. But not only is God in the psalm, He is accessible to you and I. Four times, verse 6, verse 13, verse 19, verse 28, we read the words, they cried unto the Lord. They moved in the direction of God. They cried unto the Lord. What they cried is not recorded. The act is recorded. When did they cry to the Lord? When they were brought to the end of themselves, and they cried from a heart made tender. And they cried unto the Lord. They cast themselves upon the Lord. Notice where and when they cried unto the Lord. Verse 6, verse 13, 19, and 28. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. In their trouble. When they were surrounded by their trouble, they cried unto the Lord. So in this 107th Psalm, there is God. He's everywhere in this psalm. Not only is He there, He's available. And so it is today. Wherever you are, there is God. Wherever you are, God is accessible. You can move in the direction of God. And whatever your situation is, doesn't matter. Whatever the situation is, God is. And whatever the situation is, you need to move in the direction of God. Unto the Lord. So we want to look now at the impossible situations of life. We've referred to them, but we've noticed several words we mentioned that you'll find in this psalm. But throughout the psalm, we have illustrated the condition of the unsaved sinner. But I believe also we have illustrated the condition in situations that even the redeemed may find themselves in from time to time. But remember, there is God. You say, I can't find Him. That may be so. He's not answering me. That may be so also. But He's there. There is God. And He's greater than whatever your situation is. And He's the answer for whatever your situation or your condition might be. And He is available. And He will move in His time, not your time. There may be someone here today in verse 2. In the hand of the enemy. We all get there. We find ourselves in the grip of an adversarial and opposing power. And just squeezes and squeezes. But there's God. And He's greater than the enemy that grips us. The enemy power that grips us. And He can do what no one else can. There may be someone here, you find yourself in verses 4 and 5, wandering in the wilderness, enclosed and surrounded by the dangers of the wilderness, the desolations and the barrenness of the wilderness. And as you read verses 4 and 5, you see a people moving about aimlessly, drifting and straying in the wilderness, getting nowhere. It's a people who've gotten off track and lost their way. Wherever there's a group of people this size, I believe you'll find someone who's gotten off track. Do you ever get off track? I do, many times. You ever lose your way? That's what's pictured here. It is said to be a solitary way, lonely. Desolate, gloomy. We also read there in verses 4 and 5, there's no city to dwell in. They're just wandering aimlessly in the wilderness. There doesn't seem to be a place to settle. There doesn't seem to be a place where they can find rest and peace and joy and comfort. There doesn't seem to be an oasis. And in verse 5, while they're wandering in this place, we see that they're hungry and thirsty. It's a picture of disappointment. And also in verse 5, we see that their soul fainted in them. A picture of exhaustion. Picture of depletion. And just maybe there's someone here. And that's you. But there is God. And He's greater than And He can do what no one else can. There may be someone here and you find yourself in verse 10. Bound in a prison. Notice, they sit in darkness. Doesn't say they stand in darkness. Doesn't say they're moving around in darkness. We have already read of those who wander in the wilderness, but these sit in darkness. What that means is they're settled. They're settled in darkness. Better be careful. Where you walk, where you stand, you may one day sit. You may settle down in that place. Read the first Psalm. They sit, they're settled in darkness. Darkness is representative of sin. They're settled in sin. They're settled in guilt. Darkness represents error and ignorance. And these are people that are settled in that. Darkness speaks of sorrow and misery. And these people are settled in it. But notice what it says, verse 10. They sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And in the shadow of death. That is, as they sit in the darkness, the power of death is being felt. In darkness, in the shadow of death. Enclosed and surrounded by darkness. Enclosed and surrounded by the shadow of death. You say, well, why don't they just get up? Well, read on in verse 10. We see that they're bound. That means they're tied and chained and shackled in affliction. Affliction speaks of suffering, pain, trouble, adversity, sorrow, torment. They're bound in affliction and iron. That is, they can't escape on their own. They are in an inescapable and impossible situation in and of themselves. They are bound in affliction and iron. Again, it's a picture of something that is gripping them and squeezing their hearts and their minds and their lives. And it results in defeat. It results in waste and turmoil and weariness and frustration and discouragement and hopelessness. And they're trapped. There's no way out. Perhaps there is someone here in that situation. But there's God. And He's greater than the darkness. He's greater than the shadow of death. Verse 16. He's greater than the gates of brass and the bars of iron. And He can do what no one else can. There may be someone here, you find yourself in verse 11. Because they rebelled. The reason they're in verse 10 is because they rebelled against the words of God. And contemned the counsel of the Most High. Here you see a people living a life of rebellion. Living a life of neglect. A people spurning God's will. Verse 12. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. They are living the life of a downcast. Verse 17 and 18, their life is controlled by foolishness. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquity, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. A life controlled by foolishness. You read on, it's a life controlled by disease. I'm speaking spiritually. Infection, disability, plague, and weakness. Verse 20, we read of their destructions, their demolition, and ruin. And just maybe, there's someone here who fits in those verses. That's where you are. But there is God. And He's greater than. And He can do what no one else can. There may be someone here and you find yourself in verses 23 through 27. Where we read of the stormy seas. Notice verse 26. They mount up to heaven. And they go down again to the depths. It's a picture of a ship. It's going up and then boom, down into the depths. And that's their life. Powerful winds tossing the ship back and forth. And notice what it says, their soul is melted. You can't live like that for very long and not have a melting of soul. Their soul is broken down. In verse 27, it says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. It is a picture of a people that is being hurled from one side of the ship to the other. They're under the control of the storm. It's one thing to be in a storm, it's another thing to be under the control of a storm. Two entirely different things. They've lost their stability. Everything's out of control. They're flung from one side to the other. There's a feeling of being engulfed. They're barely holding on. And then we read and are at their wits' end. Oh, I've been there many times. At their wits' end. Really, it's a good place to be. Because that's when you will cry out to the Lord. To be at your wit's end means that you are at the end of all human ability and resources. There's nothing you can do. You're at your wit's end. There's no escape. There's no help. There's no deliverance in sight. They are in a state of despair. Hopelessness. Despondency, pessimism, and defeat. And again, just maybe, there's someone here, and that's you. That's where you are. That's your situation. But there is God. And He's greater than the storm. He's greater than the waves. He's greater than whatever it is that tosses you from one side to the other. And He can do what no one else can. And notice what it says, He maketh the storm a calm. But you know what's even more valuable than the Lord calming a storm? Is when He calms our hearts in the storm. That's even more precious. That the Lord, if the Lord's not going to calm the storm, that He would calm our hearts in the storm. God can do both. There may be someone here and you find yourself in verse 39. They are minished. That's our word, diminished. Of course, is a picture of loss. And notice what else it says. It's verse 39, it says they're brought low. They're cast down. They're disheartened. They're demoralized. They're crushed. They're shaken. And then notice that this is through oppression. That is persecution and hardship and affliction and sorrow. And again, there may be someone here in that situation. But there is God. And He's greater than, and He can do what no one else can. So in closing, in this 107th Psalm, we see the Lord. We must always see the Lord. We must always know that He is there. We see the Lord, we see the character of the Lord. He's good. His mercy endureth forever. We see a people. And we see the many impossible predicaments and situations and conditions and places that people can get in. In light of this, four times we read, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble." There was a recognition of need. There was a recognition of the Lord's ability to meet the need. So they cried unto the Lord. So there is God. He's greater than, and He can do whatever, and He can do what no one else can. And this people move in the direction of God. Why? Because they realized that the Lord was their only hope. And they cast themselves upon the Lord. And they did so in their trouble. We have an unfailing resource in the Lord. You say, "Well, I cried unto Him. Nothing's changed. Situation's still the same." Well, He's the only one that can fix it. And if things have stayed the same, no one else can change it. You need to keep crying unto the Lord. How foolish. Well, what's the use? And just throw up your hands. What are you going to do now? He's the only one who can. You keep crying unto the Lord. If unsaved, if you're here and unsaved, I pray that you can see and feel yourself lost in the wilderness of sin, wandering about aimlessly. Or perhaps you may see yourself locked in the dungeon of sin, or languishing in the disease of sin. Or your life under the control of the storm of sin. But you need to see yourself, and you need to feel the power of your condition. And then we pray that God would bring you to the end of yourself, causing you to cry out to the only one who can deliver your soul. The redeemed of the Lord. For you and I that can identify with the redeemed of the Lord, that's exactly what happened to you and I. He caused us to see and feel the power of sin. He brought us to the end of ourself. And we cried out unto the Lord. And He saved us. He delivered us. What I'm saying this morning is, whatever your situation is, whatever it is, the situation's not the issue. We make it the issue. We make it the main thing. It's not the main thing. Never is. God is the main. So whatever your situation is today, God is. And He's what He's always been. And He's what He'll always be. And He's accessible. He's accessible. Well, Brother Dan, all that sounds good, but I'm just going to do something else. Well, you go right ahead. And I pray that one day God will bring you to the end of yourself and you'll cry out unto the Lord. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us verse song.